Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Here's Nikki. Hey guys, happy Wednesday out there, besties. That's what I call you if you're a new listener. Welcome to the show. It's Nikki. It's a good puppy. It's Nikki Glaser Podcast. We have such a great show today. How do I know? Because I already taped it. Yes, I'm doing I usually do the intro. We always do the show like in time. But today, Andrew had to check out of his hotel. And so I was running late because I slept too late. You're about to hear a great show. That's the good news, is that I can give you this report ahead. Pete Lee is on the show today. Comedian Pete Lee. We discuss how we fell in love. He was my first love. He was probably the deepest love I've ever It was the top love I ever felt. It was a young love. It was fast. And now he's one of my very best friends. And it was funny because the other night I saw him at Ben Glebe's party, and we were talking about, we're both going through some pain right now, and we were talking about like just like how much we love each other as friends. And we were like, oh, we were so in love then, and this love, the love that we had then was a romantic love, but it is the same love in terms of like, just the, there's, it's so interesting, you can have that kind of like obsessive love and then look at someone down the line and be like, they're my friend. And like, it's not, it's never like that with us anymore. We did at one point, so you'll hear the story of how we got together in a little bit and how that all happened when Pete and Andrew join us. But What I don't talk about is how we started talking again eventually after 11 years of me not talking to him after he broke my heart. And then we started talking again because I ended up hating another guy as much as I hated him, and I didn't have room to hate two people that much. So it like freed up a space in my heart. And Pete and I were, you know, it was 11 years down the road, we're seeing each other at comedy clubs all the time. And so I eventually gave in and was like, yeah, I'm down to be friends, I guess. Like, and he apologized for what he had done to me and all this stuff. And I didn't apologize for my part in it, which I still owe him an apology probably now that I'm saying this. But yeah, we became friends again. Then we started talking, and there was, and he was in a relationship when we kind of reconnected. But then that relationship started going like not good. And then we were talking again. And you'll see later on that when we first got together, he had a girlfriend. And so this history was repeating itself like 10 years later when we reconnected. And he had a girlfriend, and I was like, we're connecting, like we're friends now, but like this connection, like there's something here that's, I can tell you like me more than your girlfriend, and I like you too, probably, but I can't do this again. So I go, call me. I said, call me when you're single. It's not going to be too long, because your relationship, you're going to see how terrible it is, because I'm giving you this like thing that you didn't, that you're, you know, when you take away the thing that guys can, a lot of times in guys who are like supplementing the things they're not getting in their relationship with outside women or other people, like whether it's just like emotional support, because that was what it was. Pete and I weren't doing anything illicit the second time around. We were just really close friends. But I knew that he had me in his phone as not Nikki Glaser. You know, I knew it wasn't something she knew about how much we were talking. And I said, yeah, as soon as I go away, you're going to see what you're lacking in your relationship, because I was that tent pole for you. And I told him, I go, your tent is going to fall. You don't have my tent pole anymore. It's one part of the tent, but the tent is going to suck. And yeah, he got drenched. The storm came, the tent sucked, and he called me one day. I think it was 3 weeks after I told him, don't talk to me until you're single. Like, and I'll maybe entertain being your friend again, but this is just, it feels not good. And he wrote me, he goes, I'm single. And I just go, I laughed. And he was like really sad because he was going through a breakup. And I was like, oh, wait, I forgot this isn't like good news for you too. And I was like, let's get through it. And then we ended up like, you know, he was free then. And I was like, I'm out of something too. I go, we had a good sexual connection one time 10 or so years ago. Let's hook up again and see what happens. I go, let's project our heartache onto each other by having sex. We've done it before. And we met up to go, he flew to LA to have sex with me from New York and to like go on a date 10 years later. And we met up, and it was friend zone. Like, we both were just like, yeah, you know. And then I went over to his hotel because I was still like, maybe I got my dogs a babysitter. I was like, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to have sex with this guy that I've like used to love. And now we're reconnecting. And I go over there and I was just like, I'm just really feeling a friend vibe. Is that okay? And he was like, yes. And I was like, can I still spend the night? And then we slept in the same bed. We had a great night, and we've been best friends ever since. And it's a lovely little story. And I'm so excited to have him on the show later. Boy, history just keeps repeating itself though. Yesterday was, I was in I called it a pod rage, which I think I'm going to coin that. Like, I was pod raging yesterday. Definitely was in a mood. Can't hide it from you guys. But it helped me the rest of the day because it let me get my anger out a little bit. And then I was able to cope with a very hard day yesterday in a way that I wouldn't have been able to without the support of the podcast. So thank you guys. And I need this as much as maybe you need it and maybe you don't need it. But I'm glad you're listening, and I appreciate it. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I mean,
especially since it's after the show.
I know.
And I have like my after show, like hyper.
I know.
Hyperness.
We definitely had a really fun time, which you're about to hear. I want to say to you, we talk about it a little bit, but yesterday during the day of the stressful day that I had, which I can't go into, an insane thing happened. An insane thing that I cannot wait to tell you guys about down the road. It's just, I need distance, but truly insane. And Noah, you had the best reaction of everyone. Like I called everyone last night. Like it happened late at night, and I just, everyone in my phone, I reached out to anyone who knew the whole story beyond it. I called you and, or I texted you, and I woke up this morning and you were the only one who threatened violence to the person,
yes. And I want to thank you, Nikki, and, everyone will know about this soon, but I'm going to have a great time in my jiu-jitsu class later. So thank you. It's gonna help me.
I like, of everyone that wrote back to me about the incident I shared, and I'm not trying to be, you know, obtuse for you guys because I want to leave you out. I wish I could tell all my besties, and you know, I would if I met
It'll
you in a parking
out.
Lot. It will, yeah. I have no. It's just I'm trying to protect people from Noah's rage, but yeah, you saying like you wish you would have been there because you would have like had a physical altercation in which you would have come out ahead really made me happy. And I wouldn't have liked that for you. And I don't like, you know, physical violence. But listen, when you have a girlfriend who could whoop some ass and she says that she wishes she were there so she could have whooped some ass for you, like it feels good. I feel like it really means a lot to me.
I just think it's really important for women to know self-defense. And when my best friend's security happens to be like, you know, in question, that it just makes me feel very protective of the friend that is in that situation.
Yeah.
And
thank you. It makes me feel so loved. Like your anger makes me feel loved. Like, it's like you're a boyfriend that I want. Like the way that you're like, that should have never happened to you, and I want to protect you. That's what I'm looking for, person who might be listening that could have maybe done something to protect me and didn't. It just meant a lot.
Your security is very important to me, and I do think about that because you know, like you're a rising star, but you're very grounded and down to earth. And I don't know, like I have to be honest with you, I do think about that a lot.
Thank you, Noah. I really appreciate it. And I, yeah, you're the only friend that was like, I would have stepped in. My other friends are like, will you look into a restraining order? I have a friend at the FBI. And I'm like, no, will you just offer to whoop some ass on my behalf? I just want it done, you know.
I already envisioned what I would have done. And I would have just like ran in there, done a double leg tackle, knee on belly, and like, you know, some kind of joint manipulation.
Oh my God, I'm so flattered. I like have a crush on you now because I feel so like, oh, a damsel in distress. That's like so, so nice. Yeah, I mean, it was a wild, wild day, but it was one that left me truly cracking up at the end of the day of like, what is my life and what have I got myself into?
Good.
What I'm about to get ourselves into is a lot of fun with Pete Lee and Andrew, in which we allude to this stuff and we have a really good time. So thank you guys for listening. It's like I'm ending the show because to me, this is the last thing I'm recording, but the show's just begun. Let's get Andrew in here.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered.
It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Andrew.
What up? Remember that?
This is the top of the show. I want to be honest with people. I'll tell people at the beginning that I'm shooting the first part later because running a little late today. How'd you sleep? Because I slept in.
I know you called me. I woke up. I didn't know you called me. I got a call at 1:58 Eastern time, so it's not crazy.
No, it wasn't crazy. It was still before 2. Hey, bars close at 4 there.
Hey, it's 4 o'clock somewhere. You know that.
I had an emergency last night. I had to call you. I called everyone. God, I tried to call my grandma and she's dead. Everything. What'd you say?
No, I was going to say she probably answered before I did because your boy was sleeping good in a hotel. But yes.
Do you have your ringer on? Did it ring? Do you sleep through a ring?
It probably vibrated.
Okay.
No, I don't. I don't have my ringer on at night. What is this? The morning show?
You call seem back like someone.
To just something we know.
Wait. The morning show. Oh yeah, people keep the ringer on. If you keep, I was gonna admonish you if you kept your ringer on because it's like that would make your people who keep their phones the sound on when people are like. Everyone silence your phones. I'm like, who has not already silenced their phone? Like, I would, my phone, anytime I lose my phone, they're like, call it. I go, are you joking? Who are you that you have your phone on? No.
Oh, I love when an older person gets a ring and then it's rung 2 to 3 times and they're looking at their phone while it's ringing to see who's calling. While ringing, like 5 or 6 times. And I mean, just, yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
It's nuts. So I called you. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
like,
sorry I didn't answer.
It's okay. I got support from a third aunt who I haven't talked to ever. I found her on 23andMe. I just needed to connect with someone last night. I called literally everyone who, like, I was, you know, when you go through your contacts to look like for, like, to invite people to a party or something, you're like, I'll just go through everyone I know. Literally, I was going through everyone I know to be like, who can I tell this story to? God, fashion egg. I have so much to tell all of you. Yesterday.
I guess it'll just be in your special, right? I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in my book. It'll be in my special. It'll be in, it'll all, you know, you as an artist, you need a little bit of distance from things that happen in your life. But, you know, we'll be dropping fashion eggs all over the place. If you're just joining the show, a fashion egg is an Easter egg. It's a Easter eggs are obviously like clues about something that you can't maybe share at the time, or that's like a secret thing that if you put it all together, you could probably figure out what's going on, but you have to be a very savvy listener. And I'm really turning into a Taylor Swift. I was so proud of myself yesterday because I did so many fashion eggs yesterday all over my social media. And like, if the fans are paying attention, they could maybe get something. But Taylor Swift does fashion eggs all or Easter eggs all the time. Like every Taylor Swift fan counts. Like she'll put up a picture, and people will like, and it's her like standing behind a night sky, and people will count the stars in the galaxy and be like, okay, so there's 44,286 seconds until her new album release. Like they're insane about it because she puts like numbers. Anytime she uses emoji, people are like, okay, she used that emoji that has the color red in it. That means red is the new next album, and she's releasing it. There were 4 of those red leaves, so that means that it's going to be in 4 months or in 4 days or 4 score and 7 years ago. Maybe she's doing a tribute to Lincoln. Like people, like they go crazy. Yeah.
It's so deep. My fashion egg would just be like a half-eaten sandwich, and people go, "I think he ate a sandwich." Like it'd be, like I wouldn't know. Like I wouldn't.
And we call it fashion egg though? Because like, Andrew didn't remember the word Easter egg, and he called it fashion egg. So it looks.
So
for
you're
fashion
throwing
eggs.
Out fashion eggs.
Yeah, yeah. I love fashion eggs because they speak. Because someone last night goes, what's your Instagram story? Like, what is this thing you're doing? And I go, it's for one person. And it's like,
it's always for one.
I mean, if my listeners are paying attention and they see what's going on later on, when they get all the details, when my song comes out, like Taylor Swift World, all of that will make sense. You know, that's like, it's not like you could figure it out now because it's too cryptic, but later on it will all come together. But
I would love if someone has a collage like on their wall for you, like trying to figure out Nikki's brain, and it's, you know, like Charlie in the mailroom. So Nikki's looking back, and then Nikki is in a green dress today, and then and Nikki, I guarantee
that, I'm
there's
serious.
Like five
I want,
people
that's
like
what
that.
I kind of want, because it's fun. I want that as a fan of like, because the thing is, I tell everything, but there are certain things I can't tell yet, and I'm not holding back to be purposefully like, you know.
Guess who I saw last night? Guess who I saw
Ashley Hasseltine.
No. Big. Think big.
Chris Noth.
Someone actually.
He played Mr.
Would probably
Big.
Be in your top 10 to see in person.
Aniston.
Rihanna.
Whoa, dude. Where'd you see Rihanna? At the Bowery?
At the Bowery Hotel.
Yeah.
This hotel is the. Dude, if I was a million, like 10 million, I would live in this hotel forever. Like, why wouldn't I? Why don't you live in a hotel?
I mean, that's why I do it in L.A. I'm going to just live in St. Louis, pay cheap rent, and then just go to L.A. and live in hotels. It's so nice.
It's the best.
I mean, I know I keep adding days to this hotel, and I don't even know what the bill's going to be. So
she walked
bad.
In. She was glowing. She was glowing. And then my buddy was making fun of her. She was walking around with a bodyguard, It was, he didn't look like Kevin Costner. He looked like he had like scarred acne that he put in himself. Like he was a tough looking man. And
right, my buddy's like, making fun of this guy. I need to tough up my look so people know that I've been through Accutane.
Yeah. So my liver's bad. So yeah, she walked by. She smelled great. She actually was dressed like Zoltar from Big. Remember that guy? That
Wishy
the Fortunes? Yeah, yeah. She had like a big like hat and it was hard to see her, but oh man, her green eyes and god.
Yeah,
damn.
She's very beautiful. My ex-boyfriend one time was producing a show that she was on and she was warming up. She was like singing in this room for this show.
Yeah.
And she was singing this like love ballad and they had kind of a flirtation early on. And the whole time she sang as she was warming up, she was staring at him. And
no.
Like he was like, Rihanna like was definitely giving me, but I was like, that's the hottest thing. I had him tell me that story all the time when we'd have sex because it turned me on so much.
It's turning me on.
Just like having Rihanna want my boyfriend. Speaking of boyfriends, one of my exes, I mean, I'm reluctant to even call him an ex because one of my loves of my life, he were the love of my life. That was Helen Hunt yesterday in Castaway. I hope you guys got
Castaway.
That. One of the loves of my life is on the show today. We have a special guest. We're bringing him for the news. He has a new special coming out on Showtime, July 9th. It's called Tall, Dark, and Pleasant, which he is all those things. Please welcome to the show my first love, the first orgasm I ever had was given to me by this man. Is that something you want in your credits? I mean, I would want it.
Tall, dark,
you
and
gave
a
me my
tongue.
First orgasm.
Yeah.
First guy to go down on me. No, I don't think you were the first guy to go down on me, but that's what did it. Well, please welcome to the show, Pete Lee.
Hey, hi.
Hi, Pete.
I do want that in my credits. I think that that should be the lead in my bio.
Listen, I've been chasing that dragon ever since. I was like, what the fuck was that? And that is what has fucked up my whole life, Pete. It's like, you're the first guy to introduce me to heroin or something.
Well, I mean,
what did you do? What's your move, Pete?
I just cared. I don't know. Like, I really...
We were so in love. It was love.
We were so in love. We were
I
like...
think it was love. I really do. Yeah. Because I think back on, like, why some sex is good. Why it like, when... I've never been in love that way until recently. Like, felt it back the same way I gave it. But we were so fucking in love. We had only known each other 4 days
yeah.
when this happened.
We had known each other for 4 days. It was like so passionate, so crazy. And I love that like you're literally saying you got it bad and then you recently met Usher and danced with him. like you manifested Usher.
I did meet Usher and have a moment with him. I don't understand. I got it bad. What do you mean?
He sings the song You Got
It
Bad.
You got it bad.
When
what does that mean
phone?
Though? What's in that in reference to?
Because you had it bad for this guy. And then you met Usher. That was my connection. It's early.
It's early. And I went on a. You got it bad too, apparently.
All right, thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling in, Pete.
To name drop for me, though. I always appreciate when people mention celebrities that I've danced with.
Dance with? You were on Howard Stern.
Yeah, right?
Dance with.
Oh, right. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Andrew.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You got it good,
it's weird.
Brother.
Yeah. You got it good, brother. Like the other guy.
No, Pete and I the other night saw each other at Ben Gleib's party, and we are. Pete, can we talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about stuff. Yeah.
We're both going through heartbreak.
Yeah.
I would say.
Breakups.
Recent heartbreak.
Yeah.
And mine. You know, my mom the other day goes, I feel so bad for Pete. And I go, because of his breakup? And she was like, yeah. And I go, feel bad for me. Where's the sympathy for, I'm going through a heartbreak too. And she goes, well, they were to go there so long. And I go, I don't care. Like I go, I was in love for 3 weeks. And I know that seems like you can't compare it, but I honestly, I think it could be just the same. The way I felt about you being in love with you for 4 days is I'm the worst pain of my life. Us breaking up, and I think it is comparable to something longer. I'm maybe I'm being, maybe I'm
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Usher, you know, pretty much.
Oh, God, this is why we didn't work out. He tied everything back to Usher. And it was just like, and this is the thing, Usher was even big back when Pete and I got together. It's like, it's been a constant problem in our relationship.
Yeah, it's huge. No, but I
made your vagina a gusher.
I mean, that's not wrong. You got a good.
No, gusher. But I do think that what you went through recently is worse than what I'm going through, because like, you know, when you're in like a passionate love, that's like the flame is burning so hot and then the heartbreak happens. That's way different than, I mean, Jamie and I, like we basically have been kind of slowly titration breaking up for the last year. Like we almost broke up before COVID and then we decided to like stick it out for the pandemic. And, you know, and that was, it, like, honestly, she's a great person. I'm so happy that I was able to get through a pandemic, like a global pandemic with her. But, you know, like when we finally split, it was kind of like, okay, so like we're done, right? Like it's, we're friends. And
it was, titration. What a good word to use. Cause it is like you weaned yourself off. So by the end, it was already you, every day you did a little bit less. And so you weren't going through the withdrawal that you would go through if you quit your Zoloft out of the blue.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like doing heroin twice and then never getting it. And then Zoloft 50 milligrams,
mean, that's,
25
you're
milligrams.
So right. Thank you for validating that my pain is worse than yours, Pete.
Yeah.
And no, it's that is the thing. It's like I did a drug. That's what happened with you. I mean, if our listeners want to catch up on the story of me and Pete Lee, it happened in April of 2006. And we met in Kansas City. I was doing a guest set, which is just like a 5-minute set on the local show at the Kansas City Improv. Pete was in town opening middle acting for the headliner Harland Williams. I was just doing a guest set. I went backstage before my set just to like be in the green room. And I turned a corner and I walked in and I saw Pete Lee with a plate. Oh, I had already seen you on stage, I think. Yeah, at that point I saw you on stage.
Yeah, I was having a post set, like a post crushing salad. I was like rewarding myself with salad.
Yeah, you had crushed and I was like, that guy's
wow,
cute.
Wild, Pete.
And I saw him, he had the plate up to his mouth. Yeah,
Pete
goes hard.
Did you get cucumbers?
Yeah.
You're crazy. So dude. Pleasant.
It's like Motley Crue stories over here. Yeah, I had like a kale salad with chicken. No, I don't.
Did you have some Paul Newman on there?
Oh, I really did. God. I went crazy. Sorry.
He had like a lot of pepper on there. It was crazy the amount of pepper. Whoa. I was like, oh my God, he's a bad boy. But I just remember, for me at
he's
least, it was
like
love at first sight.
Stage persona.
No, on stage he was. The funny thing is,
he's
so he
Mr.
Did,
Salad.
Well. At the time, though, so he killed, and then I'm doing the second show. So I go backstage after he's back there, and I turn the corner, I walk in the green room. I'll never forget the chair you were sitting in, everything. You were eating a salad, and you were, like kind of scraping the last parts, and you just, like, stopped, and we were just like, hi. And it was like, I felt love at first sight, and it was a done deal. And then the second set, you dropped during your set that you had a girlfriend. I was like, oh, and then you had a joke where you were like, but I cheat on her on Wednesdays. And it was like a Wednesday. And I was like, yes. And
so you'll
was,
stay on your diet of a salad, but you'll eat pussy, eat someone else's.
It was just
so
a
cool.
joke that
that's
I go cool. loud and clear, Pete. loud and clear.
I remember I saw you on MySpace. You were one of like the friend of a friend, or like suggested, you're a friend suggestion on MySpace. And I clicked on your profile like earlier that day. And I was like, man, she is so cute. Like there was just something about you. I was like, I need to know her. But then I couldn't.
You were like, yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. That's you going
oh my
through
God,
my photos. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That was my MySpace what? Blog song too. I was like, I'm in the mood.
Oh my God.
you just so you're like, I gotta meet this girl?
Yeah, I you just made me laugh so hard that I like can't even speak right now. This is great. This feels so good. No, but I was like,
if it prevents you from another Usher mention, I'm gonna keep trying to make you laugh so that you take a breath before you mention him again.
Yeah, just have the thought of maybe I shouldn't do this.
Just have a pause before you bring up an Usher reference. No, continue. Keep telling me how fantastic I am.
But I remember I couldn't friend you because you were so cute that it would have been creepy. Like, you know what I mean? Like.
And like, you had a girlfriend.
I had a girlfriend and I didn't want to creep. And then you walked into the green room and I was just like, it was like literally.
You clicked hard on me.
I clicked hard on you in the green room. It was like, you know, in movies or like in Wayne's World when Dreamweaver would come on, when he would see that girl, like that was what it was like when you walked into the green room.
And it was like that for me too. And it was crazy.
It was.
And, but when you said that on stage, I was just like, okay. And I was not the type of girl to pursue. I mean, I lost my virginity to a guy with a girlfriend. I mean, I like guys with girlfriends sometimes because I'm like scared of intimacy, and especially if they're like, I was young and they're throwing their girlfriend under the bus on stage. Like, I'm like, this is a done deal. Like, he's not married, you know, and maybe that's scoundrelly of me, but I was just like, I almost didn't want someone who was available to me. And so we hung out that night. And then the flirting was on. And I think that then it was all weekend. I did a guest set on every single show and we fell in love. And I think, and then we did not have sex. I can't believe I didn't have sex with you sooner.
Yeah.
We had to say goodbye on Sunday. You had to go to a college in Iowa. This was Kansas. And then you were going to come back to Kansas City to fly out. And you went and did the show in Iowa. And then that night I was like, if you drive back tonight instead of tomorrow morning and you come to Lawrence, Kansas, I'll fuck you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear like vroom. Like it was just like he just like jumped on he like hitched a ride on a semi truck, jumped on the
I
back
heard
of it.
He threw his salad.
I did, yeah.
He just goes, fuck this salad, his post-show college salad.
You know what the funny thing about that was? I remember I rented a PT Cruiser, and I remember actually, like, the noise, it was like...
A like, Pete Lee Cruiser?
Yeah.
Pete Lee Cruiser.
Because they made those, like, real loud, like they were supposed to be some awesome, like, old school car, and I remember actually flooring it and going to
just
your place.
Horned up, headed to Lawrence, and then you arrived in the middle of the night. I remember I had a paper due the next day, so I was, like, finishing this paper I had to write. I finished it, and then I, like, ran out to meet you. It was in the rain.
In the rain.
Do you remember in the rain?
What the hell?
In the rain.
We're like making out in the rain, and then you come inside, and then we had sex, and then I had my first orgasm where it was like, what the fuck was that? And then was like, we were just like so in love. And then I was like, okay, well, you're going back to New York and you're gonna break up with your girlfriend. That was the plan, right?
That was the plan. That was totally the plan.
Well, the plan got a little derailed.
It got
because
the
you
problem
went back.
Is he came. He
yeah.
came.
Yeah, I know. After
problem.
He came, he's like, you know,
he cruised in that PT.
He
didn't
engaged.
Drive so fast.
Yeah,
it really was one of those like bachelor situations where I like I was in love with two women at the same time, and like I was like
I knew you were.
Yeah, I was honestly crazy in love with you. I was in love with her. There were some red flags. I wound up doing exactly the right decision and marrying her and then getting divorced from her.
Dude, and you called me. I said, don't talk to me unless you are free. Like we said goodbye and I go, no, because we were talking at first and it was just like, what's going on here? Like you sent me letters. You said, I love you. And like, I still have some of those cards you sent me. And I was like, I can't talk to this guy anymore. He's never going to break up with her. I have to like pull out. And so I go, no more. Tell me, let me know when you're single. And then you called me a month later. It was hell to not reach out to you. Mm-hmm. A month later, you called me on my birthday. And I was like, oh, Pete? I was like, you're single? And you were
oh
like,
my God.
No, I just, it's your birthday. And I just wanted to say happy birthday. And you were, I was on TV the night before for the first time in my life.
Last Comic Standing.
And you were like, you were amazing last night. And I was like, and? And you're like, and I can't, I'm sorry, Nikki. I just can't. And I was just like, never ever talk to me again. I never want to hear from you again. And you go, Nikki, you're saying really hurtful things right now. And I go, yeah, I think he goes, you're angry. So you're saying hurtful things. And I go, I am so mad I ever met you. And I was like, and then we hung up, and then I didn't talk to you for like 11 years.
You know what's crazy is that
we got to get to the news.
There was a bench in Central Park that I was sitting on, and
I was sitting on a bench too.
The last time that I went to New York like a week ago, I actually ran past that bench, and the bench literally like invoked like heartbreak emotions in me. I'm like,
What was that like for you when you made that decision? Like, did it make you more committed to the one that you chose? Like, don't sugarcoat it. Like, how long before you like were not thinking about me a lot?
I don't think I ever not thought about you, but like, I mean, honestly,
I was staying in the game. I think maybe, you know, I was an open micer when you met me, and then suddenly I was like, I was starting to show it up and haunted you. And I was honestly motivated by haunting you in your marriage. When I found out you guys got married, I was like, I cannot believe.
Wow. But
I did know that she found out about me. And I thought, okay, as long as they have like worked through the dishonesty that happened, then I'm happy for like, there's a part of me that was like, at least he was honest with her and she found out.
Yeah, that was her pitch. And like when we went to dinner that night, that was her pitch. She was like, look, I know something's going on with you and Nikki Glaser. I don't want to know the exact details, but you need to choose. And I remember thinking this is kind of cool. She seems really cool right now. I think I'm going to choose her. And so I chose.
That's the problem.
So I chose her, and then and then she was like, "But you can't keep a friendship with her," which is like in hindsight, that's reasonable. But I mean, like,
and it wasn't even on the table for you, to be honest.
It wasn't even it wasn't on
until now.
Yeah. Well,
but wouldn't have a Netflix special if he never ate you out so well. So.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
I am so grateful that it happened, because we saw each other the other night. We're going to get to the news. We saw each other at Ben Glebe's the other night, and it was, and you're right, I wouldn't have a Netflix special. It started my obsession with like orgasming and like how to recreate that in my own life. And I think you probably did suck my clit, and that was like the crux of
I
think that's what you did, right?
That had to have been.
I didn't even know what you did, but no one did it ever again.
I fantasized about that moment like in my life before. It was so hot.
So funny I saw you at Ben's, it was so sweet. Wait, what were you going to say?
Well, because you were talking about like, did I ever think about you? Yeah, I thought about you because I had to ride the subway with my ex-wife that was skinned in your face for Nikki and Sarah. Literally, like we were sitting like going to a party.
Fucking dream.
And she just like elbowed me and she's like, I know this is really awkward and awful for you. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of hard. And like, I would go down, I would take the train to Best Week Ever, like every single day to go to work. And then the train car would be skinned with your face.
I
so like,
hated you so much. And then I saw you at Best Week Ever. Hi, Pete. Remember, hi, Pete.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever spoke to you. We were in the same, we were getting our makeup done. He was getting makeup done for Best Week Ever. I was for Nikki and Sarah's, a sketch we were shooting in the office, because our office is shot where they shot Best Week Ever. And we had to be in the same makeup room. And I'm like, I cannot believe I'm in a fucking makeup room with Pete Lee 9 years after, 8 years after I'd said I'm never speaking to you again. And I loved you so much. And I just, you walked out of the room and I just go, hi, Pete. And no, I walked out of the room and then you said that your makeup artist was like, whoa, like had to shake off
what
the
was
vibes that?
That
were in the room that I was shooting at you.
Yeah, it was like intense. Like the makeup artist was like, that was thick. Like I was just in like a movie. It was like love and hate and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like an Usher song.
It really... These are his confessions. Okay, we got to get to the news. And sorry for taking so long to get there, but this is a special day because we have Pete Lee, his Showtime special, Tall, Dark, and Pleasant. He's so fucking funny. Is coming out on Showtime July 9th. So make sure you check that out. And follow Pete Lee at Pete Lee, Pete Lee, Pete Lee on Instagram.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh, boy. Hope you're having a great time out there, having all the swells. I know me, Pete, and Nikki, and Noah are. No jerky, Pete. No jerky. Okay.
No
woman drookie. Who thought...
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
No jerky, Lee. No jerky. No jerky, Pete.
Sure.
How would it go?
No jerky, Pete. Yeah, I don't know. Just keep going.
Are you guys speaking
Klingon? We combine all of our names. It's a new Usher album that we're trying to remember. He's doing some experimental stuff. Okay, wait.
No, a fan combined our names, so Nodruki, and then I tried Noah, to add you into it,
Andrew,
but I did a horrible
Nikki.
Job.
And Nodruki Lee.
And Nodruki. By the way, is this behind you? Are you in a hotel, Andrew, or is this your bedroom? Like, do you have like a fashionable, old style, old timey lamp in your bedroom?
He is definitely at the Bowery Hotel.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
In my room, I don't even have a light. Back
he has a lamp so, in the corner of the room that has no shade on it, that is surrounded by piles of dirty sheets. He in the four well, corners of
Andrew's
room.
Sounds like I'm getting
room,
shade.
I give you corners. Enough.
I get enough corners. Shade. I don't need any more.
The four corners of Andrew's bedroom have different piles of laundry and things. So it's ironic that you pointed out a lamp that is definitely not Andrew's. Okay, what's the first
lamp.
Headline?
It's unbelievable. Okay, a woman who thought she had $20 in her bank account finds that she has $1 billion has been deposited in her bank account. She was spooked by it, and no one from Chase is returning her calls to return it. I mean, what would you do? Would you call? I wouldn't call the bank. I would take as much money until going, oh, I did, oh, you know, that.
No, because
you know
you're
going
to owe it back. It's not yours. They're going to catch the glitch and then you're going to owe it back. I don't see why you would do that. I would think that would be the foolish thing to do. Pete, what would you do?
I would take as much of it out and then I'd flee the country, just like Andrew said. But like, you got to also understand, like JP Morgan Chase was the people that funded the Nazis. So like, they're going to find you. Like they're going to find you somewhere on the globe. So I would have as much fun as I could until they find me.
$1 billion. I
would buy the Anne Frank freaking museum and then hide
and
in
hide
it.
Out in
yeah
in the
they
annex.
Would never find me yeah no
next
I,
to a,
yeah.
a
I
plaque.
Mean it's hard to take out $900 million. I don't know how you would take that out in cash. I guess I would take out like $4 million and not get crazy, and I'd be like, oh my god, someone put $996 million in here.
They
Can
would
you believe
see
it?
That the it's not like they can't pull up and see that $4 million had been taken out at some point. They see transactions.
Look, that's a finder's fee.
That's
he
a percentage.
Found it.
I'm just saying.
Thanks
she went
for
from
finding
having
$20.
I love how poor she was. That's like the saddest part of the story. She
I know
like
that
was,
is so vulnerable. I wouldn't admit that. I wouldn't tell anyone that part. No, that's.
What would you do?
I want this girl to. I want to start a GoFundMe so we can give her a couple bucks for being
okay,
an honest
so
person.
Let's do
you know
it.
When homeless people return money. And they get more people like pitch in more money because they did the right thing. I feel like we should do that for her. But I don't, what's her Venmo?
I think she's too old to even have Venmo.
Oh really? She's an older lady? What a sweetie.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many zeros a billion is. I think I would be confused by the amount of zeros. Oh yeah, she's an older lady. Oh my God. She thought she had $20. What does that woman spend? Why does she only have $20? Well, she's from Florida. She just thought she had $20 in a bank account. Wow.
That's wild.
I always see like an old rich woman like that and think she, you know, has at least, you know, 500,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She had nice earrings, she had lipstick. That lady had $20. Like she like what is she doing? Like
I know.
Wearing the same I don't know. I mean, it's wild. It's wild
America,
out there, Pete.
Will you pull up the picture of her again? Because I've met this woman. I haven't met this woman before, but I've met this woman before, and that lady fucks. Like, she's the kind of lady that comes up to you after the show, and she's, like, stroking my forearm for a little too long. And
yeah.
Being like, you are just wonderful. Do you want to come?
Yeah, she's an older woman, probably in her 60s, blonde hair, blue nails, crazy, like, big bobble earrings like Leslie Stahl wears on 60 Minutes. Pete, I know what you're saying. Do you get a lot of women touching you after shows and like making you feel uncomfortable? Because we always hear the stories of it happening to women, but do you get that?
Yeah, and it is uncomfortable. I mean, for me, for a couple of reasons. Like number one, a lot of times, like back when I was in my relationship, like she would be there and she'd be like standing sort of near the merch table, and then women would be like grabbing my ass or like they'd grab my dick or like whatever in a picture, like haha, we're a bachelorette party, we're gonna grab the comedian's dick, and I'd be like, no, you can't, and then. And they like women's egos can't handle when a guy doesn't want his dick grabbed. Like immediately it goes to like, what are you, gay? Like right away, they could be like the most woke and evolved hipster girls. And then when you don't want your dick grabbed, they're like, whatever, you queer.
Yeah. And it's weird. I found that like when you want to have sex with a guy and he's like, no, you go, what? You have to. Like if I'm willing, you must be. And I, of course, I'm saying that facetiously, but there is a thing of like, but men always want to fuck. They always want to have everything be sexualized. You don't. The rejection is so crazy. And get the fuck off men, women. Don't touch men. Men don't touch other men. Remember when I yelled at some guy for like manhandling you? Was that you, Pete?
I think so.
When I like yelled at that guy.
Manhandled you?
Yeah, like this guy just, you could tell, wanted to touch someone. He hasn't been touched in a while. He's going through a divorce. And he like was using the fact that he could hug Pete and like really get in there to just get, he might be a little bi, who even knows, you know? He just wanted to touch Pete. And it was like uncomfortable. It was too long. And I go, don't touch it. I go, get off it. What are you doing? Like if this guy would have done this to a girl, and it wasn't even sexual, you know, it's just a really intense hug from behind while we're eating dinner. And I just go, get off of him. That's too long. And it was uncomfortable. And I regret doing it because you can stand up for yourself. But I was just like, I don't want to see this any kind of, just get off people. Unless they're asking for you to touch them, get the fuck off them.
Get the fuck off. I was in Madison, Wisconsin a few weeks ago. And it was like the first meet and greet that I had done in COVID. Like I'm vaccinated. Mm. Most of the people in the club were vaccinated. And this lady was there in the front row with her husband. And like the whole time she's like taking pictures of me. And like, I could tell that she was like a super fan. And like she, it's great. We need those, right? But after the show, she was just like all over me at my merch table. There's a line of people.
You shouldn't have done the joke about cheating on a Saturday night.
On a Saturday night. It was the specific day.
Oh, yeah.
That's my. But she, anyway, like her husband is just like the most tolerant human being on the planet. You can tell that like this guy, like he meditates or something, but because he was just like, she does this. I'm going to just breathe. I'm not going to get mad.
This is her hall pass. I agreed when I married her that if she ever got to meet Pete Lee, she would shoot her shot.
This is what it is. And
mine is Kathy Ireland. And I really picked wrong because I don't know where to find her. She's not coming to Madison anytime soon.
She must be near the calendar factory. Who makes calendars?
That's what she just anymore? Hangs out in the early 1990s calendar factories.
Like they're coming back.
But I just tried to like tend to the husband as much as I could. I was like she would be like literally glommed onto me.
Oh, and, you and, blow the husband to make sure to not go near?
Well, yeah.
I
just was sucking that clit.
I was sucking that clit. I was literally just mouthing clit. Him. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's okay. It's okay.
It's so funny. Yeah, oh you have to placate the guy that you're making uncomfortable. But that's, you know, I say that happens a lot when in meet and greets. I'll have a guy like casually grab my ass in a way that's like, oh, I just hit it accidentally, which my butt is not big enough that you accidentally hit it. You have to like go in to get it.
Yeah, it's like Narnia.
It's concave. And but there's always a wife there, and people go, why don't you tell him? And it's like, because it'll be a whole thing with the wife. Like it's too, he'll deny it. It's like, it's too much of a hassle that I'm taking care of her needs. And it's just like, but I will say if I had a boyfriend and I was watching him do a meet and greet and there were women that were trying to like, obviously wanted to fuck him. I mean, I would be so into that. I would not be a jealous girlfriend. I'd be like, nice try, ladies. He's coming back to my green room and or you know, he's coming back with me and he's gonna eat all the salad. He's gonna toss my salad later on tonight. This post-show salad is changed into my asshole.
Do you think
we still use Hidden Valley though?
Do you think,
you know, that's the new thing, is an upside down pineapple means you're a swinger. Have you heard about this?
Nice.
People are shopping. If you go to like Trader Joe's and someone has an upside down pineapple, they're gonna want to fuck
in their
you.
Basket,
like a couple swap. Yeah, in their basket.
Yeah,
it's kind of hot.
Okay, what if you just like are a person that just throws things in your basket and like all of a sudden you have to
you gotta fuck
someone's husband?
Yeah,
like, no, I'm just like not good with. I don't.
Yeah, you gotta.
I'm dyslexic with fruit.
Nope, you gotta throw your keys in a bowl. That's what you gotta do. You gotta swap.
What's the next story, Andrew?
Did that husband like you when you were hugging his wife or no? How did that end?
He was cool.
Was it weird?
He was cool to me, but there were probably like at least like six touch points where I was like, just being like, sorry, dude.
Well,
like,
this is
sorry.
This is Pete Lee. people pleaser, taking care of other people, like worrying about the husband that you have nothing to do with. It's not your job to make him feel safe. It's her job, and she failed. But that's classic Pete Lee, which we'll get into later when we talk to him about his special Tall, Dark, and Pleasant.
All right, yes. Next headline. A Norwegian public broadcaster released a guide of different positions for all couples with black and white photos and interesting names like the clamping koala, the farts dumping, a.k.a. the speed dump, and the standing mouthful. Let's take a look at more.
Okay, so these are new positions?
Apparently.
I like the flamingo. It's a girl on a stool. That you could do that on stage. So it's like a stand-up stool, and then one person is standing next to you, and then the girl on the stool literally looks like my best friend Catherine, like 100% like my best friend Catherine, and that looks like me next to her.
It really does.
Like, I'm gonna send that to Catherine.
Move. Have you ever done this move?
That one's great. Okay, it's a man that is us. They're both standing. The woman's she's standing on one leg. The guy's on both. She's putting her other leg over his shoulder as she's standing. So she's almost doing like a split thing. That is hot. I love that. And you know what I like about that? She's not doing a lot of work there. She's bendy, mm-hmm. but she's not having to like support herself. He's carrying her. And I like to do
it.
It
helps that you're shorter in that instance as a man, because that leg goes all the way up on the shoulder. I don't know if I could fuck that way.
No, you have to be long-legged. You'd have to be tall for that to happen. That's a good one for me, to be honest with you. I've never even thought of that. What's the next one?
It looks like you and Pete a little bit.
Pete, there we are again.
That was literally what we did that night. That's why we couldn't stop thinking about each other.
Keep going down. I'm like, okay, I hate Froskin. Froskin, the girl looks like she's squatting, taking a dump. They're on a bed, and the guy is behind her, kneeling, and he just looks like he's supporting her as she's taking a dump, like from behind, like being like, "You can do it, babe. I know it's hard to shit in the woods."
Like, she can't not laugh at this. Like, look at her.
Yeah, they're laughing in this photo too. This is
that guy looks like me. Like, oh my!
These two just look like they're mourning the loss of a dog they just buried or something.
This is like Froskin is like IKEA language for homosexual. Yeah. Oh, we're Froskin.
Oh God, he's such a Froskin.
You're a Froskin.
Yeah. Yeah. What does Froskin say? Oh, it's the frog. Froskin is the frog. So yeah, these are all erotic, and like actually, like the funny thing is, you don't even think about some of these. There's only so many ways two bodies can fit together, and it's like, haven't we come up with all of them? How are there new ones? All right, next story.
Do you guys like to do all sorts of different positions like that? Or do you kind of have like four go-tos? Yeah.
And to be honest,
I've been doing more lately. I didn't realize I had it in me.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, some things, you know, yeah. What was your favorite position? Oh, no, you like the missionary. You like laying there and then.
No, I like being tied up.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. Well.
It's pretty much. Pete, what's yours? What is your repertoire? The frog skin?
This is so boring, but like I like missionary because you really get to connect. Like I
agreed.
I like it.
It's the best for sex where you're making love, because it's like whenever a guy is like somewhere else or like behind me or something, I'm like, but I want to see your face. Like I need to kiss what I'm coming.
Yes.
I like need to kiss. Like I cannot, if they're like somewhere else, I'm just like, come back up. Yeah. Like it's like I want like emotional support.
Connection.
Like yeah, so I agree with you. God,
sometimes
Pete.
It's a little intense, though, don't you think? When you're looking at each other in the eyes and you're like,
yeah, it's called
it's
love, and you gotta go for it. I know it is too intense.
It's
crazy. Sounds like you haven't felt it yet, and I'm kind of sad for you. But you'll get there, buddy. You'll get there. Next story. Why do I care? Why do I care?
All right. Why do you care, Nick? Avril Lavigne joins forces with Tony Hawk as she makes her TikTok debut with a silly skater boy bit. You got sent this picture because it looks like your dad.
Yeah, my dad. This really does look like my dad, Tony Hawk, and Avril Lavigne. I showed it to my mom, and she was like, "Whoa, that does look like your dad. That's crazy. Whoa, good job." No, she did side by side. Will you please put this on our Instagram, the side by side? That's wild. They do look alike. Yeah, and Tony Hawk's a tall guy. I didn't watch the skater boy. I didn't watch the TikTok. I saw it everywhere yesterday. It's so funny when you just are like, I can't be bothered to watch this 30-second thing. I hate TikToks because you can't scroll ahead. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else get bothered by that?
I
like
do,
they're too long, even though they're fucking 30 seconds long.
Yeah, I did watch the TikTok, and it's literally painful because she drops. He has this like lime green mini ramp, and she drops in on it, but she's not wearing knee pads, and she just like slams right onto her knees. Where like it's like she broke a bone, and then she like gets up laughing because she's at Tony Hawk's house, and she's got all sorts of adrenaline that she's getting this TikTok shot. And then she drops in again, she makes it, and then almost falls again just as hard. But like the whole time, I can't take joy in the fact that Tony Hawk and Avril Lavigne are together because her leg is broken. Like she died leg first that day, and I can't even handle it.
Because you are like you were a skater.
I was a skater boy. I said, see you later, boy.
I did. Yeah. In April of 2006.
You did.
Yeah, someone the other night was like, oh, Jeff Dye was talking about you the other night and being like, it turns out he's like an Olympic, like water sports dude. Like this guy, he could kill you with his thumb. You're like a jiu-jitsu, like you're like a, tell us your accomplishments.
I have a black belt in Taekwondo, and then I kicked, I was a champion kickboxer. I'm a national champion water skier. I have two world records, one in the most people on the water for a pyramid, the other one for world record bomb outs, which is barefooting.
I really think only one of those is your record.
Yeah.
The first one, it seems like you're a part of a group.
I was a
pretty large group.
It was an ensemble. Driving the boat. It was an ensemble. Yeah, I was driving the boat.
That's a lot to tow. Yeah. You know?
Come on. I had to do this with my wrist. It was crazy.
Wait, how many people were in this pyramid?
What part of the pyramid were you? You were a base.
I was a base of the pyramid. Sure. There were 52 people on the water for it. So like 52 people behind one boat. And I was one of the bases of it. And Yeah. And then bomb outs are where you jump out of two skis and you go barefooting. And the previous world record was two behind one boat. Then we set the world record for four. Then we set it for eight. And then we did 16. So, and like my friend Tony Reichels, I don't know if I should say his name, but he literally got paralyzed and lost his football scholarship because this thing was so dangerous.
Because of bombing out?
Because of bombing out, yeah. Because
what do you do with
Andrew?
Bombing out?
Andrew has a record for bombing out.
I know. it was only 15 times. Oh wait.
It was at the Toledo Funny Bone. Oh yeah, sorry.
No, if Andrew doesn't bomb, new material. That was a joke that I could make only because Andrew does not bomb.
Andrew kills. That's like if somebody's got like a really cute nose, you can be like, you have a fucked up nose. Like,
wait, so yes. This guy's not really paralyzed then?
No, this dude was paralyzed because you barefoot and like you're falling at 55 miles an hour and the water's like concrete. So if you face plant and your legs go back, you just break your spine.
Why is the water like concrete? What are you talking about?
Because you're going
so fast.
You're going so fast that the water's hard.
It gives it the okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And then
why aren't you a comedian?
Yeah. Why am I a comedian?
Why aren't you good at like all of these things? Like you just like took a
because none of those things make money.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I also like, I mean, you know me well enough to know that like I really don't have anxiety about physical danger, but I do have I have social anxiety and I'm on Zoloft just like Andrew. Clap. Yeah. High five. I have social anxiety. And so stand up scared the shit out of me. Like all those physical sports stuff, like it didn't.
And
really
you like things that scare you and give you an adrenaline rush when you do them.
Yeah.
And that's, but you have more of adrenaline rush doing comedy. I agree. We got to get to today's segment on Wednesday's show. We're doing a special one with Pete Lee. We chose a segment called The Blankest Thing, and that is where we pick a word and we have to share a story of the blankest thing we've ever done or ever seen or whatever. And today's in honor of Pete Lee, today's blankest thing, what's the fill in the blank, Noah, in honor of Pete?
In honor of Pete, the most people-pleasing thing I've ever done.
The people-pleasingest thing you've ever done.
Oh.
Because Pete, Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a big part of who you are, is pleasing people.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's my weakness in life. It's what I do. I mean, I'm going to make a little list, and then I'm going to get to one that I think is really great. Every handshake in COVID, like, you know, when like somebody comes up and they're obviously a Republican and they were like, I'm still shaking hands. Like,
and their nose is hanging out of their mask and all that shit. Yes.
Yeah. Every single one of those. If I start an Instagram story series, like I start and it's going, like, I have to watch the whole thing. Like, I remember one time.
'Cause you're scared that they might think you're bored with them.
Yeah, or just like I know that the algorithm would be like, okay, maybe, like, I know it helps their algorithm.
You don't want to make the algorithm mad?
Yeah, what are
you
literally talking about? Want to people please the Instagram algorithm.
That just seems like OCD as more than people pleasing. I understand watching someone's story because you don't want them to see you drop off and think that you're mad at them because their story wasn't good. I sometimes need to let people know, like, you do not deserve me to, you need to know that this is where you lost me.
Yeah.
And like, do better.
That's what, like, literally you're honest. You're like the photo negative of how I feel about it. You'll be like, yeah, I'll watch a guy's story and just fall off after one. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Like,
no, you need to send a message. Sometimes I do that manipulatively to be like, I don't care about you, boy. I like, and think about too much. But if someone's stories suck, I will fall off with no problem, because that happens to me with my friends. And I go, okay, that's where I was. Don't go that far. You know, like, you get information when people are honest with you.
Yeah.
And it's one of my least favorite things about myself and others is the people pleasing. And is it something that you're trying to stop, or is it something that you can't?
It's something that I try to stop, and I actively on a daily basis have to go, no, Pete, don't do that. Or I have to decide that in the moment when I'm agreeing to something, that like, I'm agreeing to do this because I want to do it, not because I'm people pleasing. Like an example of it today would be, you know, last night Noah was like, hey, we're going to podcast at 8:20 a.m. And my brain was like, fuck it, I don't want to wake up really early and podcast like it's morning radio. And then I was like, no, this is great. I'm going to get to connect with you guys. Like, this is for me. Like, we're going to be able to plug.
I'm so sorry I was late. And then you just woke up and sat around. I'm really sorry, Pete.
But I have this neighbor, Jack. He's this old pro surfer that lives right behind me. And we went to the Point and had coffee together. It was like, awesome.
Okay, good.
So like, it wasn't bad at all. And
are you people pleasing? Are you being honest with me that it wasn't annoying that I was late? Because I can take it.
There was a second where I was like, motherfucker, I woke up at 7:30. Okay, and then I went and had coffee with Jack, and it was fine. Like,
that's nice.
But like, what's the truth there? Like, is the truth that I was super put out, and the worst thing in the world is to wake up at 7:30, you know, like, or is the truth like, I woke up a little early. You guys were running behind. I got to go have coffee with Jack, and like, now we're having fun and everything's great. So it's like,
right.
I've been reading this book called How to Do the Work. And one of the things in there is that like with people pleasing, there's like an ego statement where you can be like, I'm the victim. This is really bad. Like, the whole world is against me, and that's why I'm doing this. Or you can think about what you're doing for yourself in that moment. Like, why saying yes to that is a good thing. And then
why you're doing it. I do that all the time. The other day I was doing a thing that I was like, why the fuck did I agree to this? My day is so long. I'm not making money from this. This project isn't going to be something that I even want to be on, like, necessarily be on. I don't know how I got sucked in. Like, I was just, it when he I got asked, I was in like a state of like, yes, or something. And then it got to it, and I go, I'm doing it because I'm helping out a friend. I'm doing something that is beneath me. I don't have time for, but I'm doing it because I want to be of service to a friend that needs, if I support him on this thing, it might better his life, mm-hmm. because he asked me to. And it was just like, oh, I'm doing this to get outside to do something for someone else. That is nothing. I'm not doing it for me, for someone else. And it was like, okay, suddenly this thing that I resent is like a good deed.
Yeah.
And I can live with it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And resent it less.
Are you talking about Ben's party that you hosted Ben's party?
No, that also was like, I was mad because I was like, I didn't even have to go to this party that early. I thought I was co-hosting. That just meant I was paying for it. I didn't need to be there. I was paying for a lot of it, so I could have showed up whenever. But then I go, because I got there early, I got to talk to Jeremiah Watkins. I got to talk to James Adomian. I got to, like, all these things happened, and I just accepted it. But people pleasing, I got to be honest, it's one of the most least attractive qualities in friends and potential partners when I see it happening, because especially with boyfriends, because you get comfortable enough in a relationship sometimes that your boyfriend will not care about people pleasing you anymore. Like, that's how they got you. And you're like, oh my God, I love this. And then they get comfortable enough that they just do it to everyone else. They take care of everyone else in a way that's like, is this the valet your girlfriend? Like, why do you have to take care of his needs? I'm mad at you right now, but you're being nice to the valet in a way that's like or the waiter. It's like, and that's, I start to resent it because I go, it wasn't even sincere when it was happening to me because this person does it everywhere. And it's honestly, it means you have low self-esteem, because why you're doing it is not because you want to put good out in the world and make everyone happy. Maybe that's a little bit, you want them to think well of you.
Yeah.
You want them to like you because you don't have enough self-esteem. So you need to get your esteem from the fact that other people like you. And if you had self-esteem, it doesn't mean you go through life and you don't do anything for anyone else. You do esteemable acts for people to be a good person, put good out in the planet. But you do, it's not motivated by, I hope they like me.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you're right. And I'm actively trying to work on that, like, it literally every day. And it sucks because there are so many times where just the game slows down for me on a daily basis, where it would be quick for other people, where they would just go, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to do that. And I have to like take a breath and think about what I want to do and then give the answer.
And then do an Usher joke.
And do an Usher joke.
Flat.
Yeah. I mean,
and even if it fell flat, we're here for you.
We're
not going to leave you, Pete.
And there's a book called The Courage to Be Disliked that I think you might like, because it's wrapped around in that it takes courage to be disliked, which is something you, like, it makes you uncomfortable the same way stand-up does. Like, maybe go into that fear of, like, maybe someone I don't like might not like me. Because that's the thing. When I see people pleasing other people where I go, you don't even like that person. Why do you care if they like you? Like, and I did that the other night. Like, there's a comedian I do not like, and I like hugged him because I hate him so much. I didn't want him to know I hated him. So I went the opposite way and I go, why am I hugging this person? So that was my recent, like, the most people pleasing thing I did. But for me, my most people pleasing thing is having sex with someone who, in the middle of it, I just like don't want it to be happening. But this person I'm in a relationship with, or whatever kind of relationship, and it's time to have sex. That's the point. And I was kind of into it at first, and now it's happening. And I like do not want this person in me. I don't want to be with them. And this happens during dinners too. If I go to a dinner with someone and I'm like, a first date where I'm like, I sit down, I'm like, I'm not into this guy. This person is like getting my attention and my time, and I don't want to be here, but I'm staying because I'm too scared to be rude. And it feels like I'm raping myself. It honestly is like such a betrayal to myself that it fills me with such self-loathing and hatred to abandon myself that way. So that's when I don't stop sexual encounters or sexual things from happening while they're happening, even though it was consensual and everything, the second I don't enjoy it and I keep letting it happen, that's the most people-pleasing thing. But it's so hard to tell a person, we have to stop having sex. I am disgusted by you right now. I mean, like, what do you say? It's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like an extremely important one.
But I'll tell you, so many people are listening right now that know, men and women who know exactly what I'm talking about. In the middle of it, you're just like, no. And you just go through with it because you already started. And the thing is, you don't. I've told a man to get out of me, and it ended our relationship, but it needed to be ended. And it was really awkward, but I was like, I don't want this. And you need to get out of me right now. Like, right now it has to end, or it's going to start feeling like I'm raping myself with you.
Yeah.
Pete, what is your most people-pleasing thing?
Right. I mean, it's kind of something that's going on in my life right now. And I do think, just like I said before, there's things that benefit me, and then there's a way that I'm people-pleasing. So I am recently single, but I'm keeping the parrot, which is her parrot. And in the relationship, she wanted to get a parrot. Like, she wanted to get a parrot, like a brand new parrot. And I was like, you have a parrot down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So I went down and I rescued this parrot who was dying because she's plucking her feathers out because she was lonely. And I brought her up to California. And I knew that when I brought her up here, that I was making a decision that she's my responsibility. Like, this is technically my ex's bird, but she's my responsibility. And it all started with me going, I don't want to get a bird. Like, I do not want to get a bird. I don't want to have a pet. I don't want to have that responsibility. But as soon as I made the decision that I was going to get this bird, I knew that it was on me. So now we're broken up. I'm keeping the bird. and this bird is going to live to be 90 years old. So like, I'm going to have to make a will for this bird. Yeah. And I would say that this is like an example of like, I people pleased initially in this situation.
To get your girlfriend a thing that would make her feel better and that she wanted.
Yeah.
And then, now you've decided to do something for yourself by keeping the bird.
Yeah. And the bird is so awesome. Like this bird, she learns words in whatever dialect or voice that she learns.
What kind of bird is it?
She's an African gray parrot.
Oh, wow. Those are the most talky ones.
Yeah. She wakes me up. Do you guys want to go see her? I'd have to unplug.
I'm obsessed with birds.
Yeah. Can I?
As you know.
Can I take you in there to see her? I'll have to unplug the good sound and it'll be just my computer.
You don't even
sound.
Have to ask. Just do it, Pete.
All right. Can you hear me?
Just show the damn bird.
Yeah, just show the damn bird.
Take us on a little trip. I'm obsessed with parrots. I forgot you had one. I would have come visit you and hung out with you so much sooner.
Yeah, come to the house, Nikki. I live on the fucking ocean.
You keep asking me and I say no because I'm not trying to people please. And I just, hello. She's so cute. Did you get her Rogaine? What's going on? Why? Her feathers are coming back?
Yeah, so her feathers were all plucked out. And now they're coming back.
What's her name?
Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a cutie booty. Yeah. Hi.
Alex, are you making a new friend?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, God damn it. I love her.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. Hi. So, Nikki, she wakes me up every single morning, but in my voice going, hi, hello, hi, hi, hi. As soon as the sun comes
up. No wonder your ex-girlfriend didn't want it.
Yeah, right?
She has to wake up to you every morning the rest of her life.
Yeah. With my fucking CPAP. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so
she wants to open up this window that looks out into like onto this palm tree and in the pool area. And so as soon as the sun comes up and she sees it through the curtains, she wants me to open up the curtains. So she's.
Do you put a blanket over her cage, though, a sheet?
She doesn't like that. Anytime her cage is covered, she she literally freaks out, and it sounds like a cage.
Does she bite? Like if I come over, can I hold her and she won't rip off my finger?
She won't bite you if I get her out of the cage first. Like,
okay.
But she'll she's like a real sweetie.
I'm obsessed with parrots.
Yeah, Alex is like she's like the best bird. And so like this is an example of like I totally people pleased in the beginning, but now like I love her and she's like my little best friend. She's the best.
Andrew, what about you? What is your most people pleasing moment? Pretending like you were interested in Pete's bird.
That's definitely top five for sure. I really, wow, that bird's cool, dude.
Yeah,
I know. I love parrots. No, I want to get one so bad. I seriously do.
This is my living room, and it like literally open, like all these open up, and it becomes a deck, and then it looks out on the ocean. It's great.
Well, wait. That'd be great if our podcast was video.
It's not.
A lot of this podcast has been visual. We're like explaining frog skin, the bird.
Well, I was trying to explain the sexual positions because I'm a radio professional.
You did a good job. I couldn't do it.
Andrew, what's your most
people-pleasing? When I look back, just like the moments when I would be at a comedy club hanging out and just being a fake person by hoping people would like me. I just have so many like moments in my head of like being fake and being like, oh wow, you're so funny up there. You're great. Oh my God. Wow. And I put on this personality and I don't even know who this is. I hate
Oh my God. When that guy comes out, I want to fucking.
Oh, well, he hasn't come out in a long time. But a lot of it has to do with success.
Oh, no, that guy comes out sometimes when you get, like, really excited about a new, like, famous person or, like, a sports. Like, it's like, that comes out.
I guess I'll just agree with you. I'll just agree with you right now.
No, I know exactly what you mean about, like, just sucking up to comics who might be able to. It's so nice to
be. I was so much cooler before comedy. Like before, like I when I wasn't trying to get anything, I was cooler. Like I was just like, but then again,
you
there
trying
were a lot
to get like laid back in the day, and oh, I guess you really weren't.
Not really.
But like you were trying to get guy friends and like have like the jocks like you, and like you probably had that demeanor with them. No,
I did, but I never had these thoughts of like, I hope this guy likes me. I feel like comedy brings that out in us where we're like, I hope this guy who's better or has more followers likes me. I don't think like, oh, this guy has more money, I hope he likes me. I just never really thought like that. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I just kind of just really went through life being a disaster. And if you stuck on, you're probably my good friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just like did whatever the fuck I wanted in a way. And
if someone doesn't like you, that's better than like if they don't care almost. Like if someone doesn't like you, you should take that as like there's energy going into that. But if they don't even know, most of the time you think someone doesn't like you, they don't think about you at all. And
also,
that's almost
people
worse.
People are making a choice. The same guy that's like, hey, like me. The same guy is like cool and in the corner. It's a choice and it's the same kind of choice.
Mm, yeah.
And you actually you get people to pay attention to you by being.
But you also think like, who is myself? Isn't myself the person that wants people to like me? Like, so how do I be myself? You know, it's always kind of fraught. Final thought, Pete, you have a special coming out on Showtime July 9th, Tall,
oh, yeah.
Dark, and Pleasant. What kind of stuff are we going to see in the special from you that we haven't before? Why are you exceptionally proud of this one? Because, I mean, if you don't know Pete Lee, he's killed on The Tonight Show. How many times have you done it? Six or seven.
Six times. Yeah, I've done it six times. And like, I think people should watch this because it's literally like my greatest hits. Like the current, like up until the special, my favorite stuff that I was doing at that moment, like the stuff that kills the hardest. And I wasn't worried at all about having anything left in the tank, like to tour with afterwards. So I filmed it on February 25th.
Because you weren't going on tour.
I wasn't.
COVID.
Yeah, I wasn't going on tour.
So you were like, I'm ready to burn it all.
Burn it all down. And so, like, I'm really
and
proud.
And the parrot was tired of hearing it.
Yeah, the parrot was like, she was like,
That's your closer.
Yeah. Wait, can I tell you one of my favorite things that she says, sidebar? She goes,
yes.
Shit. It's so it's so funny.
My parakeet kiwi, when I was in high school, he would just go like kiwi, bird, kiwi, and he would do like sounds. And one time we heard him go, ah, kiwi, kiwi, good bird, kiwi. Mom, I hate my fucking middle name, kiwi, good bird, kiwi. And we go, why did he just say, Mom, I hate my fucking middle name in my voice? Because I don't hate my middle name. I do scream like that at my mom probably sometime. But me and my friend Huffy both heard it. We go, did he just say, Mom, I hate my fucking middle name in the middle of a bunch of different? It was so funny. I was like, I guess I've said that before.
Oh, I hate my fucking middle name. That's so
it's such
funny.
A long thing for a bird, this, especially when everything else is just repeated.
Like, yeah,
did
just
he
like,
ever do another long sentence?
Kiwi, Kiwi, Mom, I hate my fucking middle name. It was just like, what?
It just came up and it was never repeated. I love that.
No, it was like but I had a witness and my friend Huffy was like, yes, he said that. But this special, it's your greatest hits. I mean, Pete is so hilarious. You're going to love this special. Make sure you watch it. Showtime, if you have that, and then it'll be on streaming. Like, you'll be able to find it streaming, but July 9th is when it will air on Showtime. I'm assuming you're going out on the road.
Yeah, I'm going out on the road. So from basically February 26th until now, I've written a new hour. So I literally felt like you after you did Bangin', where you'd go on social media and be like, I have a new hour, I'm touring with it. And I remember thinking like, that's impossible. How the fuck does she have a new hour already? And I have a new hour ready. And it's like,
yes.
It's I've already been going out on the road. It's been killing. I've been tuning it up at clubs. And
you have it like beginning, middle, end. You know exactly the order and everything.
Yeah. I mean,
Jesus, Pete, you work in a different way than I do.
Well, God, you must have been a skier at some point.
I mean, I'm open. Like, I'm still writing and I'm going to be like replacing and, you know, getting things that like, you know, here's my test of a good bit is when you start going into it and you go, oh, this 3 minutes is going to be easy. Like, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you just go, I'm just going to put, it's
autopilot.
Like a,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have to work for this 3 minutes because this is going to be good. And
I just know it works. It's just a safe space. I don't have to think. Definitely. Cruise control. Love it.
Yeah. And I got to say like, and I mean, I don't want to put down Tall, Dark, and Pleasant. But That's this is going to be
again. It's not visual. It's not visual.
That's true. All right.
Yeah, he's again. He's showing us a picture on his phone. It's like it's Pete's first podcast. Everyone, hang in there with him as we approach the end of the show. He's just figuring out that you guys aren't all watching live on Zoom like we're some like the Frasier reunion
for my
script read through
for our next segment. How many fingers am I holding up?
Wait, I want everyone to guess at home. Seriously, guess how many fingers Pete's holding up before we leave. And if you get it right, you're going to have a great day. Okay.
One through five.
Make a guess. And if you get it right, you're going to have a great day. The answer is four. If you guess four, you're going to have a great day and all your dreams will come true today. And you like, it's going to happen. If you didn't guess four, fucking drive carefully.
Yeah. And if you think that was fun, watch Tall, Dark and Pleasant on Showtime July 9th.
Or just listen to it.
Well, listen to it on mute and then listen to this podcast over it and it will sync up perfectly. You play this backwards in slow motion and it will sync up perfectly with Tall, Dark, and Pleasant muted.
Actually, play Usher's album backwards and you'll hear Pete's special.
Pete Lee, thank you so much for being with us today. And maybe I will come see your bird tonight. I'm in town one more night. Love having you on the podcast. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Andrew. So sorry I was late today. I'm going to go record the top of the show, which you already heard. Isn't that weird? And we'll see you tomorrow, besties. Keep looking for fashion eggs. And I love you so much. Thanks for listening to the show. Get your friends into it. And yeah, see you tomorrow for Thursday's episode. Yeah.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.